What's up, Power Players? It's your host and founder of Empower Nani. I'm coming to you live with another episode of Power Talk. So welcome to Season 1, Episode 79. And today, kids, I got a real good treat for you. The guest that I'm bringing on is someone that has been so pivotal in my life, a mentor that I admire, respect, and really, really love. Ed Mylett came into my life about 2 years ago when I was in a very, very dark place. I had no faith. I was, you know, thinking suicidal thoughts. I was drinking a lot more. I was in a crisis with my moving company, lost my partner, found out my sister was stealing. It was just a really bad time for me. And at this time, I found an episode that was called Blissful Dissatisfaction. And I listened to Blissful Dissatisfaction 3 times. The next day, I thought to myself, what does Ed Mylett have that I don't have besides the money, besides the success? What is it as an individual that I don't have that he has? And it was his charisma. It was his humbleness. And most importantly, it was his faith. That Sunday, I took myself to church and I have not stopped since. I got saved last year. I got to express this story to Ed Mylett in September at the Summit of Greatness, event. And today I am so honored to be able to have the privilege of having him in the Power Talk, to be able to get his insight, his knowledge, and his value. So I really, 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 from the bottom of my heart, appreciate you guys listening to this episode. This is a very important one to me. It's important to my success. It's important to the Empower community. And more than anything, it's an achievement. So I'm super, super honored to present to you guys today, Mr. Ed Mylett. And for those of you guys that don't know who Ed Mylett is, you're going to have to dive into this episode to figure it out. And with that being said, I got a couple requirements to the episode, and that's this. 1, make sure you turn off all your notifications. Make sure you turn off all your distractions. Make sure that you completely focus in on this episode. Requirement number two is this. Make sure that you have a pen and paper handy the entire time, because he is going to drop some bombs on life, on business, and on becoming a better individual, okay? And then requirement number 3, make sure that you go ahead and you take one of these gems, you take one of these notes, you take one of those value bombs, and you implement it into your life. It's so important, people, so important to get in power of who you are, to get yourself back, to get centered, to become a person of value, to see the value in yourself. And in this talk, you're gonna hear that. So I got one last thing to say, and that's this. You ready? I'm ready. Let's go. Boom. How you living? How you being? How you doing? It's your girl, Nani, and I am coming to you live with Mr. Ed Mylett in the building. For those of you guys that don't know who Ed Mylett is a leading leader, a maximum performance expert, a global leader in today's world. And while many leaders and speakers are just talking, Ed is a team-driven millionaire who has created one of the world's most prolific financial service companies. He's a best author, global speaker, father, and man of faith, and he was rated top 50 under 50 wealthiest men. So I'm super excited to have you on.
I'm thrilled to be here. And you know what? I'm so impressed with you and what you're doing and how you do it that's why I agreed to do this today. After meeting you in person, you made such an impression on me that I can remember clearly when we met, and I remember our conversation. So honored to be with you.
Definitely. It was so powerful. I remember meeting you, standing in line, and it was just so humble how you were and, you know, how you acted and, you know, the things that you said to me, that it just impacted me. And you've been such an impact to me. So this conversation is going to be a good one. So what I want to dive into is, I know your story. I know you were born in Boston, but you were raised in Diamond Bar, California. You come from a middle class to lower class family, and you say normal, but everyone knows that normal means dysfunctional, correct? With that being said, your dad was a recovered alcoholic, and you were going to go to the minor leagues, but then you got injured. And this is one of the first lessons that I learned from you, that blessings come in hidden segments, right? So your first big dream didn't work, which was baseball. You got depressed, you lived at your mom's, and then you really state that you lost your confidence. And my question for you, because you are a man that speaks confidence, you're a man that speaks, you know, promises to yourself, you state that when someone really is confident, they usually really worked hard for it. But my question for you is, how about someone that's facing an identity crisis and they're dealing with a silent battle? They look confident on the outside, but they're not feeling too confident on the inside. How does someone face that and how do they overcome it?
Whoa, that's a heavy question to start with. And by the way, I relate to that. So the first thing I would say to you, if you're facing a silent battle, I'm going to tell you something that might surprise you. Almost all of us are. So even everybody listening to this right now, even Ed Milette sitting here, they're saying, can you adjust the view? I don't know what view they meant. So there must be everybody. I think I got a good view going. Everyone's facing a silent battle. Almost everybody you know is battling something they don't want to share with you. It's part of the human experience. And I say this often. I think this would be something that might serve you. You can't love yourself if you're not being yourself. And if you get back all the way to the battle you may be going through, it may possibly be connected that you're behaving, acting, thinking in such a way that's not consistent with who you know you really are. And so for me, well, I face those battles all the time. And it's always connected to me not being the real me not acting as my authentic self, me not living up to my standards. And you can change this. Please give yourself a break, is what I would tell you, because I think what happens when you're battling something or your self-confidence is low, it's actually an ego play. And I know that sounds heavy. You're like, well, wait a minute. You know, I had somebody in my family do something to me that was egregious that I could never live down.
Yeah.
Or I've had, in my case, an alcoholic father, or maybe you've been even molested. I mean, we're talking about the most serious things in life. So I always try to take things to the most extreme example to prove whether they're valid or not. And the truth is that I've used the fact that my dad was an alcoholic. I stopped being helpless and I became helpful. You can't simultaneously be helpless and helpful. And so I took that fact that it's a shameful thing to think that my dad had that situation in our family. It's shameful. I carried it for a long time. I battled all the things that didn't happen good or that did happen bad all my life. And what I decided to do is to take that circumstance and become helpful with it. And all of a sudden, I'm not helpless. All of a sudden, it's not just my battle. It's everyone's battle. And so I'm not saying you have to share secrets with people, but the more helpful you can become, the more you begin to serve, you get out of your ego. If you're always focused on you, what this meant to you, what happened to you, and you just stay inside yourself forever, ironically, that's our ego. It sounds crazy, but it's our ego. And so when I get out of myself and into mankind, into humankind, into serving other people, it's always been my pathway. I'll give you a last example. One of the things that's been critical to my dad's recovery is in AA, you sponsor other people that are getting sober. And so one of the keys to my dad's own recovery was becoming helpful to other people in his recovery. And he credits that to his 33 years of sobriety or whatever it is to this day. So always the pathway out is somehow using your test as a testimony to serve other people. That would be my generic answer without knowing the specific challenge someone's going through.
Man, I love that. That's powerful because you speak about preparation and keeping your promises, right? Yeah. And if you are going to be accountable for anyone, that means you got to be accountable for yourself first.
Amen.
That, you speak about your first mentor, Tony Robbins, and how he put belief in you. And you state that it's not good enough just for someone to believe in you. And I want this question to be more for leaders, business owners, anyone listening to this. You state that it's not good enough just for someone to believe in you. So as a leader, how do you not only get someone to believe in themselves in that moment, but also to make them anchor it after that moment?
Awesome question. By the way, I love being interviewed by you. I've done 6 interviews today, 3 TV and 3 like this, and this is the best. And the reason is the questions, because you understand these topics. So the way that you get somebody to believe in themselves is you have to anchor it to something they intuitively believe to be true about themselves already. So it's not good enough to say, oh, I believe in you. You're a superstar. You're going to be great. Why? Humans need why. Why do you believe in me? What's the reason, right? And what I found is when you link it to something they already think is true about them, they begin to believe they can do what you want them to do. So, for example, when Tony told me, man, I believe in you. I think you're an incredible speaker, right? I think you're an incredible speaker. Why? And he would tell me, bro, it's that voice. God gave you that voice, man. It's so deep and it's authoritative. And the way you move around when you talk and the fact that you care so deeply and you have this ability to transmit energy to people, brother. and people feel that you care about them. That's a whole lot of belief you dosed on a dude. And what I started to do is I go, well, I do have a deep voice and I do really care about people. I know that's true about me. So this belief he has in me has been validated by facts he's told me about myself. So I'm constantly telling people why I believe in them, not just that I believe in them. And it's usually linked to their two or three or four natural gifts that they know they've had since they were a little girl or a little boy. You ask the average person, what's 300 things about you that are bad? Bam, they can list them off. Give me five that are good. They take a while. But eventually they arrive at it. Well, I'm good at math, or I'm funny, or I'm really musical, or I care, I'm nurturing, I'm intense. They can find those two or three things. And when you link your belief in them to those things they believe about them, now you got something special as a leader.
I love that. I really do love that. Because I think that a lot of people, they try to have a leadership mentality, but they have a boss mentality. And one of my favorite quotes, and I got this from you, is that bosses say go and leaders say let's go. Because in a moment of leadership, you're not supposed to be that someone that's like, hey, this is what's wrong with you. You have to be that person that's like, hey, this is what's right with you. And this is what I see in you. So how do you lead into leadership, right? Now, at 22 years old, your dad gets you a job. While you work there, you realize that this is the life you want. You want to serve people. You want to help these at-risk kids. And you state that blessings come in packages that we do not expect. 3 years of a false start happened for you after that. You began thinking that this isn't for me. This isn't working. What am I supposed to do? And that's where you started getting the belief of things don't happen to you. They happen for you. Now, one big thing that I've learned when you talk about this in this moment, when your best friend reaches out to you, you get into this financial services, you're still working at the halfway house. You state that communication isn't what you say, it's what you feel. So how can an individual actually transfer that energy of intention, not only within themselves, but to other individuals or other relationships that they're trying to create?
Wow. Yeah, for me, energy transfer is you can't transfer to somebody that which you're not truly experiencing. You can't give me something you don't have. So the first thing is, like if you're in a business, you have to fundamentally always work on feeding your own belief. Like right now, the very many businesses I have, here, let me say this to you. If you can change the way you think and you can own something, you can transfer that energy to somebody. So it starts with changing what you believe and what you think. So what is thinking? What is thinking? People don't even stop and say, how? What's the process of thinking?
Yeah.
Thinking is the process of asking and answering questions to yourself. That's what it is. It's what thinking is. You have a thought, you answer it, that's a thought. And so you have a question, you answer it, rather, that's a thought. It happens very quickly, but that's what our brain does. That's how we think. So the change is, can you change the quality of the question you're asking yourself? So right now, we're in the time of this recording, we're in the middle of the corona pandemic, depending on when people listen to this. And what's happening is people have all these thoughts of anxiety and fear and all that. And what if you could change the question and say, what is this trying to teach me right now?
Yeah.
What is it trying to teach me? Everyone's lesson is different. Maybe it's that I should have saved more money, or maybe the importance of family, or who really cares about me? And I'm being taught that right now. Or I need a side hustle. I need a second business. I can't depend on my employer, whatever it might be. Okay. If you'll start to ask those kinds of questions, your entire being changes. And so I don't love what we're going through right now, but there is a ton of it that's happening for me that's good. And because I believe that so deeply, I believe it because the questions I'm asking myself, now I believe it so deeply, I'm transferring that energy even to people right now. They're like, hey, bro. And I know you think, well, you don't know what it's like not to worry about food right now. I don't, but I know what it's like not to worry about food at another time in my life. Yeah. And I know what got me through that time wasn't a pandemic, it was me changing the questions I asked myself. And so how's this served me? What's good about this? How can I grow through this? What is this trying to teach me? What could I improve right now? How could I come out of this better than I went into it? How can I separate myself from the competition during this window? When they're watching Netflix and wearing sweatpants, I'm getting dressed every day. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm growing. I'm working out. I'm doing whatever I got to do to separate myself. And that energy, even as you feel it now, is because I feel that so deeply, I can transfer it to you. Think about your religion or how much you love your children, how much you love your parents. There's no strategy when I'm around you. I feel you love your mom.
Yeah.
I feel you love your dad. I feel you love your children because you're experiencing it. It's not a technique, right? Or your faith. Like when I'm around you, I get that you believe in your faith, right? Because you believe it so deeply.
Yeah.
So the key is believing something deeply in order to transfer it.
I love that. And, you know, you definitely got me into my faith. I explained that to you the day that I met you, that, you know, I became a believer of Christ when I started listening to Blissful Dissatisfaction. And when I started listening to all your episodes, really, because I was like, man, what does this man have that I don't have? Because I remember you stating that we're all the same, but there's just that one thing that's contagious. And your one thing was faith. Now, you speak about the subconscious mind, and you speak about how the subconscious mind is a prover. It acts like a filter. It filters in exactly what you're thinking, and it's going to come right out. One example that you gave that I really love, and I hope you could dive a little bit deeper into it, is that beliefs are like tables. The legs are, you know, your negative thoughts, your manifestations, your vision, and the table that you're making it is what you're going to create. Can you kind of dive in a little bit more on that topic of beliefs are like tables?
They are. You're amazing. It's so wonderful to talk about this with someone who gets it. I know I keep saying that, but it's awesome. So it's almost like the Matrix. So there's a filter on your life. You really are getting what you believe.
Yeah.
You really are. And I use this analogy often that you need to be really careful what you're thinking about, what's important, because you're going to find it. In my book, I talk about if you buy a new car, whatever the car is, say you buy a blue Honda, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, blue Hondas are everywhere on the freeway, aren't they? They're three lanes over on the road. Boom, blue Honda. Whoa, another one. They were always there.
Yeah.
Why did you see them? Because they've been filtered into your awareness. So what happens when you have a belief, your prover wants to prove it. And so what it does is, once you have a belief, the first time you believe something, it's okay. You believe it, it's like a tabletop. It's very wobbly. It can be moved. But what you start doing, if you believe it, for example, my business doesn't work, or I'm no good, or people don't believe in me, or no one takes me seriously, or I can't sell, or whatever it might be. What you do when you believe that is you start finding your blue Hondas, and you find these references, and they become like legs under a table. And the more you find, the more that table isn't movable anymore. And then it takes real work to unmove them. And so you have to be careful. I mean, every belief we get, I'll give you a perfect example. I just bought this new crazy home.
Yeah.
It's a flip home. It's crazy. And it's the most expensive home that's ever been sold in the Coachella Valley history. And the first day I got here, you're going to laugh at this. I went, it's on a golf course. And but even dumb old me, I know this and I still did it. I went, I wonder if golf balls could reach the pool. Right? Like, I'm just finding something wrong.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm walking around this property. It's 2 acres. By the way, I've walked this property 50 times, never seen a golf ball. Do you know what I found? 11 golf balls in 2 days. No. They were always there, but they weren't important to me. Now I'm paranoid. There's another one. Shit, there's another one. Oh, man, another one. This place eats golf balls. I've been driving myself crazy for 2 days. Well, those golf balls could be missed clients. Those golf balls could be, I'm going to be going broke in the corona crisis. Those golf balls is every relationship I get in, they treat me bad. Oh. Everybody I date cheats on me, right? Those are your golf balls, and you're going to see them. This is the most important thing, is being able to control what you look for in your life, because you will find it, and then you build these references to where this morning I woke up, I'm like, this damn house is getting pounded with golf balls. The truth is, this house has been here 10 years. The truth is, these golf balls are probably 11 of them in 10 years.
Yeah.
But I'm convinced they're coming at me all over the place, so I find them.
That's nuts.
That's the cable.
And I love that, because it is so true, right? When you start thinking of something, it just starts popping up everywhere. And that's really the belief system that you speak about. Your favorite quote from Malcolm X is, that in which you do not hate, you will eventually tolerate. And I love that you've adapted that quote, because it's made me think further of like where I'm at and what I want. And at the place when I started listening to you, you really showed me the power of your mind, the power of what you can do when you have a belief system in yourself.
Can I say something about that I think is amazing about you? I just want to add, because you asked something earlier that was so important about faith. I want to acknowledge something you said. When people say to me, well, you have a really strong faith, I want to be completely revealing about that. That doesn't mean I don't doubt it sometimes.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't have questions. That doesn't mean there aren't circumstances like we're going through right now, or you hear about a child passing away, or I do a lot of work with pediatric cancer, and I'm like, Lord, why would you? So people think, well, because I question my faith or have doubts, it's not strong. No. Okay. The fact that I constantly have questions strengthens it, because I find more answers. I'm asking a question to find more truth about it. And so I don't want people to think that I have a perfect faith. I don't, or that I never doubt. That's why I'm a human.
Yeah.
Hopefully over my lifetime, I become closer and closer to the Lord. Now, I don't doubt there's a God in heaven. I don't doubt that Jesus is my Savior. And whatever you believe, I'm not here to preach to you at all.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell you that I don't doubt what he's doing sometimes. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't doubt that. Am I crazy to think that he's got every answer for me? And then I come back. Well, look at the evidence of my life. Look at the difference he's made. There's no way an average, ordinary dude like me could produce these results on his own. There's just no freaking way this is me. Doesn't mean I didn't do the work, but there's a great rule in the Bible called the sower. When you plant seeds, he provides the harvest. You plant the seeds, he gives you the harvest. Sorry. Yeah.
It's perfect because it goes into what I'm going to speak about, and that's the manifestation right there. So with great vision comes great opposition, and I always say that. And with great purpose, you can't have your problems overshadow it. And it's like exactly what you said, you know, the story of the sower is they reap what they sow. You plant it and then you end up seeing the harvest later. And I think a lot of people think that they're being buried rather than being planted, right? So when they start feeling buried, buried in bills, buried in debt, buried in a bad relationship, buried with a bad mindset, their will becomes for sale. And something that you taught me, and I think is going to be very valuable, is that my will is not for sale. Whether I have to question my faith a little bit, whether I have to question my purpose a little bit, it makes you stronger because it gives you that reflecting factor of who am I? Am I a force or am I a factor in this world? And the question that I want to lean into is, how can an individual's will not become for sale? Because you stated that it's important to have a why, but that's not the factor of the formula of happiness. So how can an individual's will become not for sale?
Your reasons have to be dramatically bigger than the price. And you have to constantly be reinforcing to yourself the reasons. For example, on faith, my ultimate reason is I want to be in heaven someday.
Yeah.
So that trumps everything else. But for example, in my fitness, I'm a pretty fit guy for almost 50 years old. And people, I think, wow, you're unbelievably disciplined.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, my will to be fit is not for sale. Why? I had a heart attack when I was in my early 30s. And when I had this heart attack, I went to see this incredible doctor who understood reasons. What do most doctors do? They go, okay, your arteries are blocked. Here's your medication. Eat good. Goodbye. He didn't do that. He sits me down. And before he would give me the prescription, he goes, Mr. Milet, do you have a daughter? I said, I do. And he said, we fast forwarded. He goes, do you want to walk her down the aisle on her wedding day? And I went, what? He goes, I'm asking you if you want to walk your little girl down the aisle someday when she gets married. You don't say that to a dad, right? Like, I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I want you to listen to me. If you don't change the way you're eating, and if you don't start working out, and if you don't take this medication and these supplements, another man's walking your little girl down the aisle on her wedding day. And I went, whoa, right? Bam. And so only about a million times have I gotten up at 5 and go, oh, I flew all night. I don't want to work out today. Bella's wedding. Bella's wedding. Bella's wedding. It's the trigger. My reasons are bigger than the price I'm paying. The minute you have your dream or your reasons begin to shrink, that price looks really big.
Yeah.
And you have to guard it when the price is. And by the way, there are different times in your life where the price is greater. Your back's up against the wall. You're going broke. It's almost go time. Flood yourself with your reasons. Remind yourself, I'm not going to let my mom and dad down. I'm not letting my kids down. I love them more than this is hurting me.
Yeah.
If you really want to be really extreme, and I don't mean to be preachy with you, please. I didn't even know we were talking.
I love it, man. I love it. Keep going.
I just caught myself on the camera with this move, if you're listening to it on camera, and it almost looks like I'm on a cross.
Yeah.
And I don't mean this to be anything too preachy, but the Lord made the ultimate sacrifice of his own life. What was, why? His reasons were so big. It was the salvation for all of us. So to the extent that you'll pay a price is to the extent of your reasons every single time.
I love that. And you talk about the price you pay to make your dream come true is very small compared to the price that you'll pay if you don't make your dream come true. And you said that it's not the price, it's the worth. So a question that I want to ask is, I know that you speak about embracing the suffering, embracing the sacrifices, and embracing the hard work. A lot of individuals see a problem, a sacrifice, a challenge after 3 years of them starting a business as their giving up point, right? How does someone overcome that mentality, or how does someone overcome that scarcity mindset of, man, I can't take this suffering anymore? And I know that you stated that there's a very big difference between pain and suffering. Pain is for champions. Suffering is for someone that just gives up.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I Eric Thomas and I did an interview one time, and he said this to me. He said, Ed, you better get something for your pain. You know, and so for me, I was just saying this on the TV show I was on today. I'm like, look, a lot of people are going through pain right now. You better get something for it. And that might be growth or breakthroughs or a different mental strategy or a deeper friendship or a better relationship with your God, right? And so what for me, the way that I overcome, by the way, pain is okay. But the way that I overcome that is I actually think pain is an indicator of growth. And I know that sounds sort of hokey, but here's what I know. Any of you that train at all fitness-wise, you know when you crushed a workout. Yeah. You know what I mean? You've done legs and you almost throw up, or you do throw up, or you're doing curls and you're like, I can't get my arms straight the next day or an hour later, right? And we all know in our bodies, we go, that was a good one. My arms will be bigger next week, right? Yeah. My arms will be bigger. My legs will be bigger. I just crushed 45 minutes of cardio and I only ate 1,500 calories today. I know that pain just gave me a better body, right? Well, so you know it in your body. You need to know it in the rest of your life. When you're going through that point where you can't break your arm, bend your arm metaphorically in your business life or in your relationship or whatever it might be, that's the place of growth. And so when there's no pain, and this is just proven over 50 years of my life, when there's been no pain in my life, I haven't grown.
Yeah.
Not once. I've never grown without pain. It sucks. I wish there was an easier ticket. But it's when I've grown the most is when I've gone through pain. So there's this sick part of me probably that I'm like, here we go. I'm growing. I kind of think, remember this adage, weird, rich, normal, poor. I think everybody who achieves anything in life is a little crazy. And the little crazy is they kind of oddly like a little bit of the pain. I know that sounds crazy, but I think we're all that way. We're like, that was hard. Something good's about to happen, you know? And that's how I think when I go through pain. That's my linkage. Not something I necessarily need to avoid. Not a sign from God. A lot of people go, oh, it's a sign I'm not supposed to do this.
Yeah.
It's a sign. They're always looking for signs. It's not for them. It's a sign to stop. Stop it. Cut it out. That's a weak way out. It's not a sign not to do it, and you know it.
Yeah.
So stop doing that.
And you taught in, because I'm in the Arctic Accelerator. I'm not in the big Arctic. I hope to be in it. But you taught the rule of reciprocity, and you talked about the rule of repurpose. And for those of you guys that are listening, the law of reciprocity is you must believe you get what you give. And the law of repurpose is things don't happen to me, they happen for me, right? Now, with that being said, there's something powerful about the law of reciprocity that just has stuck in my head. And I want you to elaborate on it a little bit more. You state, existence equals impact, meaning you don't have a choice but to matter. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that, right? It's just like how you said, something bad happened. Oh, it's a sign from God. I don't need to do it. Oh man, this happened. Oh, it's a sign that I need to give up. Rather than seeing that what you get right now in this exact moment is what you put out. You know, yes. The work that you did 120 days ago, that's the stuff you're receiving right now. So can you go into depth a little bit more on the law of reciprocity and how individuals can benefit from understanding this law in their life?
Yeah, the law of reciprocity can show up in different time frames, but you're exactly right. What you're experiencing right now is based on work you did or didn't do 60, 90, 120 days ago, most of the time in your life, okay? So there's a reciprocal effect. When you give something, something comes back to you in life eventually. You shouldn't give for that reason. But when you give, it does come back to you. You have to believe in it. It's not a belief. It's a law.
Yeah.
There's a reciprocal law in life. And I've lived it for 50 years. You have to trust me. But I don't – what happens is when that reciprocation isn't instantaneous, most people stop doing it or they think it's not real. So for me, I just know it's an inevitability that that's going to come back to me. But here's the fundamental thing. I just want to say this to everybody because we're a little limited on time. And if I don't say this to you, I'm going to be remiss. It's in times like these that you need to be reminded of something, okay? And this is what reciprocity really means. You were born to do something great with your life.
Yeah.
You were born for a reason. Each of you, you and I are no different than anybody listening or watching this. You were born to do something great. Maybe it's been a while since someone's told you. Maybe no one's ever told you. But I'm telling you, you were born to do something. Now, if that's true, okay, if you were truly born to do something great with your life, and great doesn't necessarily mean rich. Great means a difference. See, my children have some great school teachers. That doctor that saved my life was great. He's not rich. Yeah. Doctors don't make that kind of money anymore. I'm talking about do something great with your life. When that's your overriding belief, I was born to do something special, unique, great with my life in my way, in big and small ways. If you know that's true, now that reciprocity thing is automatic. When you come from that place of, hey, I was born to do something special. I'm favored. I got the blood of the King of Kings in heaven running through me. Man. I'm destined to do something great. Then you got a shot at this reciprocity stuff. But if you keep coming from this place of, I don't know, I suck, I'm not so, hey, stop it. It's BS. Someone installed that thinking in your head when you were a defenseless child. Mm. You weren't born thinking you weren't great. You weren't born not happy. You were born happy. You were born exploring. You were born inquisitive, curious, and knowing you were going to do something great. And some stupid adult or multiple ones or bullies at school started installing these negative thoughts in your mind when you were defenseless as a kid, when your brain matter was still forming all the way up to 21 years old, that are flawed thinking. It's a virus of the mind.
Yeah.
Of the mind. And so I'm here to say, that's not true. Let's undo all that crap. You're supposed to do something special, just like you knew when you were a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. You knew it. And somehow over time, that got taken from you. I'm giving it back to you. And by the way, I really can't give it back to you. You have to give yourself that gift of just starting to believe that, starting to say it, start to act like that's true. And I'm telling you, it may take a while, but there'll be a reciprocal effect back where that happens for you.
Man, that just fired me up. Beidra Kulins talks about that too, taking the pen back and being the narrator of your life, that we grow up, so many people write the letters to our life. So I know I don't have much time with you left, but I do want to get these last couple questions in. So you talk about cause and effect. And this is a little bit more about the reciprocity, but we're going to fall into the repurpose factor. You state your actions produce a result, just like your existence makes an impact. Your choices create a result. It's easy to blame others because, one, you have to understand you exist. Therefore, you have to make an impact. Therefore, your actions are causing a result. So how does the law of repurpose come into place with the law of reciprocity? What are the three things that every single individual should know? I have them right here, but I would like for you to repeat them.
Right. Well, you got to be in the accelerator for me to give you the three things you need to know. You can tell them, but I'm not going to give them that little secret. But here's what I will do. I got to say something for those folks. But here's what I will say. I wish I could give people the gift of all of it. But here's the biggest thing on repurposing, okay? You're always creating an impact. You're always teaching somebody something about you. Always. So, in other words, if you know that I'm always influencing people, here's the seriously crazy thing. People feel so invisible and they've convinced themselves I'm making no impact. And the fact that you think you're making no impact is causing you to make a negative impact. And so you're always making an impact. I'm conscious all the time. Even if I walk in a room and, you know, especially years ago where people didn't know me, right? I'm always making, now that impact could be this person's not to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
This person's not confident. This person isn't competent. This person isn't of any matter to me. And that's the impact you're making. Or that is, this is a good person. This is an honest person. This is a kind person. This is a generous person. This is a strong person. This is an influential person. This is a competent person. So it's not that you're not making an impact. It's that you're not aware you are. Mm. You're making one. So take control of what it is. And at any given time, you talk about this narrator thing, I say it in my book, you and God are the author of your life. At any given time, you can turn the page and say, I'm going to start to take control. Here's the word. And be intentional about the impact I'm making on other people. I will begin to, I know I'm doing it now. I know I was born to do something great with my life. I know there's a reciprocity. Now my job is to be intentional with the impact that I'm making. And it's funny. When I was younger, I used to think that impact that I wanted to make was that I was really important. Or you should take me very seriously. And those are okay things at certain times in your life. You know what I found now that I want people to get from me? This person sincerely cares about me. Mm. I think it's the biggest impact you could make, and you're in control of that. Maybe you're not the smartest or the most articulate or the richest or have the best information. I don't have all of that. But what I want, I'm intentional about, I care about you. I care about you. Anything I could do, I would be here to serve and help you. I don't know what that might be, but I want people to know I care. You know how rare that commodity is in life? Do you know how many friends I have that aren't rich or successful that you don't see on my show, but they're my dearest friends because they care about me. The people I do business with, I think care about me. The people that I trust, I think care about me. The people that I care about me. And so you could at least control that impact you're making all the time, every single time. And sometimes when we're not acting like ourselves and we're pretending to be something we're not, that one most important thing is gone because we're trying to front or we're bragging about things we don't have or we're, you know, and then the one most important thing is this person cares about me and I trust them is gone because you're playing this character you think you need to play and you don't.
Man, that's so, so powerful. So how do you attract trustworthy people? Because I think that's where a lot of people fall short on, right? They think they have the right people around them and you're one to say, don't hang out with the people in the past because the people in the past reinforce the past in you. So yes. How do you attract those trustworthy people or how do you attract those type of people in your life?
I'm intentional about it. And it's funny that you say that because I just had to have someone leave my life recently that I didn't want to have leave my life. No, they don't know they left my life. I don't call people and announce you're out of my life.
Yeah, like, hey, you're gone.
They just, their proximity becomes more and more limited. The text messages are slower and slower. And so for me, it's the number one thing if you're going to be in my life is that I can trust you and you care about me. So I don't know that I am a professional at knowing how to attract those people. I know how to get rid of them when they're not in me because trustworthy people don't want to be in association with people that aren't like that. And so if you're carrying people around with you that aren't of value in the terms of caring and trustworthiness, you're not going to attract other ones to you. I also believe people get a sense for who you are. And one of the things, those of you that are really trusting you or caring, they need to also know you're strong. Don't let people mistake your kindness for weakness. Mm-hmm. For many years, people took my kindness as a weakness with me. And the more I started to let them know that, hey, my kindness is a strength of mine. It's something I'm proud of. It's something not to be messed with because if you take my kindness for granted, you won't have me in your life anymore. And I think that's true in your relationships. I think some of you are nodding right now going, my God, you just described my relationship. My significant other is constantly taking my kindness as a weakness for me. And you need to make sure they know. Don't ever mistake the fact that I love you and I care about you for a weakness. Because the minute you think that is the minute that I won't be in your life anymore. And that happened to me for years and years and years. Now I'm conscious of letting them know this is my superpower. My superpower is I'm a kind man. My superpower is that I care. My superpower isn't my influence. My superpower isn't my knowledge. Although, you know why I have so much knowledge about this stuff? Because I care so deeply about serving people. So I go find this because I care. So the fact that I might be good at some of these things, that's not the superpower. The superpower is I care so much. I want to be able to help people in a way that maybe other people can't. So I go learn and read and grow and experience life in such a way that it's constantly about how can I serve other people. But the foundation, my superpower is I care. And by the way, all of us can share that superpower. There's nothing special about me.
Yeah.
I just got intentional about, I really want to make a difference. I really want to be helpful. Because for so many years of my life as a little boy with an alcoholic dad, I felt helpless, as we said in the beginning. That's why, in your case, you know why I did this? When we met, as most of these people don't know, but you got very emotional when we met.
Yeah.
And we gave each other a long hug there in a room, very crowded room, and you were very emotional. And it took me a while to process that because that happens other times. I just went, she really, really is going to be a valuable human in the world. Because I know you've had pain. I can feel it when I'm around you, right? And I relate to that. It's why we relate to each other. And I just feel like I want to share anything I can with you to help you help other people. And so I think you and I have the same superpower. No. You're articulate and brilliant and beautiful and smart and all those things. And those are powers you have, but that's not your superpower. Your superpower is, and here's what's crazy. Whatever it was that wasn't great in your life that happened, and I feel like it was pretty serious stuff. Mine was pretty serious. I bet yours was even more serious. Actually did happen for you and not to you because of what you're doing with it. Now, if you didn't now repurpose it, and if you didn't use reciprocity, then you know what? It happened to you.
Yeah.
But because of what you're doing, you've taken your power back and it happened for you. We control whether things happen for us, not to us. And that's what I love about you.
Thank you so much. And anybody that's listening to this right now, I always get teary-eyed when you said that to me in the beginning as well when I first met you. It gets me teary-eyed because everything that you're saying, it's true and it works. It's not something that he's just making up. I'm a testimony to it, right? I've changed my life. I've become a servant leader. I've fallen into the church. And all I've done is become more intentional and just wanting to be a better person. And I really, really thank you for putting that belief back into me and just helping me get on track with just having the communication. Because you're right. It's not something you say. It's something you feel. And I used to feel that through your podcast. I could feel it now. And this moment right here is so big for me and my tribe that's on it. They know how big this moment is. I've been manifesting it. So I really appreciate you saying that, Ed. And just to wrap up with one last question for you. I asked Trent Shelton this, and I've gotten a lot of my guests from your podcast because I've fallen in love with them.
Right? I love Trent.
Trent is amazing. I've interviewed him about twice. And the last question I asked him, and it's something that, you know, I've been wanting to ask you is, I always ask if you were to have dinner with a legend, who would it be and why? But I don't want to ask that to you. What I want to ask is, you know, you were going through a very hard moment when you said that you lost your water, right? And yeah. last year, I stopped everything. I went broke, got my car repossessed, almost came to eviction letters on my door because I just wanted to serve people, right? And the one story that kept me going is when you talk about how you wake up early as hell in the morning, go downstairs to an apartment complex and shower in the apartment showers. Let your wife go first. And then you would be so embarrassed because you had to make sure that you were out of there, right? What was the verse that kept repeating in your head? Or if you had to think a favorite verse for you, and I'm talking biblically, so anybody that's listening to this, I'm talking about faith now. What was your favorite verse? Or what was that verse that just kept you going?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I knew that that was making me stronger. And what a gift. Man, I didn't feel like it at the time. Why is it a gift? It showed up in so many different ways in my life. Number one, I didn't know it at the time, but it would help me become a much more relatable leader for people. You know, like there's other guys out there that have some net worth. I just feel like sometimes they're not as connected. I think when you know that, that was one of it. But the biggest gift in that for me was humility. I don't know that if that didn't happen, maybe I wouldn't have been a different man. Yeah. Like, if it's all come easy and it wasn't dramatic, I don't know that I'd have, and by the way, I don't know that I always have humility, but man, it humbled me. And I don't know, maybe some of you are going through those moments right now, and the gift of it is maybe humility. And then gratitude. When you start to have a lot of great things happen, and I know this is going to happen for you and many of your tribe here, when you start to have a lot of really great things happen, you know that I know more unhappy rich people than I do unhappy middle class and poor people. You think, that's crap. No, man, I know a bunch of unhappy. In fact, the majority of rich people I know, they're not very happy. And the reason is they lose gratitude. When you lack gratitude in life, game over. And what that did for me is no matter what happens, probably 50 to 100 mornings a year, it didn't happen this morning, actually, but it happens a lot. You've heard me say this. When I turn that water on and it comes out of the shower,
just enjoy it.
Floods me with gratitude. Yeah. Because I had that whole time in my life where there was none. And the more you achieve, the more you acquire, the less grateful you can become. And so the great gift of that was, I'm a really grateful man because that happened to me. And it's a constant reminder. And so whatever you're going through right now, if you go win, it happened for you.
Man, I love that so much.
That's the lesson. So I'm so glad you finished with that. Yeah. That's an awesome question. Let me tell you one thing, and I'm going to let you go. You and I are going to do more together. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you right now, mark my words, we're going to do more together. And I didn't know that until today. I knew when we met you were special, but now I know. We're going to do something more together.
So. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. If I can, go ahead and take a picture with you so I can show off that I was with the man, the myth, the legend. And this time I'm not crying in the picture, so it'll be a better picture because the last one, man, I can't bring that back.
I think we did it again even. So.
All right. So 1 second.
Man, I look old today. Can you put a filter on it?
No. Man, you look great. I didn't want to say it, but you look great. You don't look like you're in your late 40s. So.
I'm almost 50 and I do look like it, but you're being nice. Thank you.
Ready?
Ready.
One, two, three. Thank you so much again, Ed. If you can, let the people know where they can find you. Everyone, Max Out is his podcast, Ed Mylett Show. If you want to go ahead and follow him, where can they follow you on Instagram?
Ed Mylett, E-D-M-Y-L-E-T-T. Go subscribe to my YouTube and my podcast. Let's do something great.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for your time. And this really meant a lot for me. So I hope you continue to be great. And I know we're going to be connected soon.
I love you. My honor.
I love you too, man. Thank you so much. Bye. Woo! Let's go! So what I want to do, guys, I'm about to allow everyone to talk because I want to be able to take a group picture real quick. So I'm going to allow people to talk just so we could take a group pic. I really appreciate you guys being on this call today. It was something that has been coming for a long time. So let's go ahead and take a pic, guys.
What a great call. I mean, that was awesome.
Dude, Ed Mylett just said he loved me.
Oh, I know. I know that means so much to you right now. Like, that's awesome.
I'm like, Dad.
How about Ed saying that he knows you guys are going to do some more stuff together? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, where did that put you? About 1,000?
Dude, I'm like, I'm ready to go run like 5 miles right now. Let's lift weights. Like, I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm excited. All right, guys, I want to go ahead and take a picture of this. So I know you guys can't show your faces because it could only allow you to talk, but I'm going to go ahead and take a picture anyway. So 1, 2, 3. Perfect, man. I appreciate you guys. As you guys know, we have another power talk with Emily Frisella, which is Andy Frisella's wife, at 5:30. And then we have a talk with Aaron Hind at 6:30. So if you want to be a part of those calls, make sure you look at the links. And I appreciate you guys being here. And one last thing, make sure you tag me in the pictures that you guys took or the picture that I share. That way we can let people know what the best tribe is around. Appreciate you guys.
Yes. Hey, Donnie, great questions. Great, great, great questions on that. I want to give you big props because you could have came in with low-hanging fruit, but you hit hard and hit power. Good job.
Dude, you don't even fucking know. I've been up since 4 a.m. listening to all his interviews because I'm like, fuck, I don't want to ask the same exact fucking questions, man. So thank you. I really appreciate that.
That was awesome.
Awesome.
That really was. I mean, you just, and just seeing him, like, you know, he was really like liking what you were saying too. And it just like, it was just awesome to see that connection.
You had him sitting up in his seat from the very first question, leaning into the camera. And if I watch a lot of his YouTubes, he only does that when he's getting into it.
Exactly.
You did that first question.
Exactly. And he said, we only have 30 minutes. I got a good 45 minutes out of it.
Got it. There you go.
Awesome, man. All right. I'll see you guys on the next call.
See you on the next one.
All right. Bye.
Good job, Nani.
Thanks, man. I was hoping you asked the question, girl. That way we could have got a question asked for you.
No, man. Look at it. It's right in. That was right in.
Good. And you know what's funny? I was like, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and put greatness on the spot because I'm sure her ass with her horrible damn connection is not in a good area.
No, I was riding, but I just want to give you a hug. So proud of you. That's
seriously
so awesome.
Man. We're going to get on a call very soon, you and me and Jay, tomorrow, just because I got a bunch of interviews after this still. So
do your
I love
thing,
you guys.
Do
thank you so
all
much.
Right, we'll see you. Bye.
so good, so good, so good, so good. God's good. I'm grateful. I am so overflowed with just energy after listening to that call, after speaking with Ed. And I hope you're feeling the same thing. I don't know if it was the points on the law of reciprocity or me understanding how someone with confidence can still lack a mindset of confidence. There's so many points in this conversation. I could have talked to him forever. But my major takeaway was this: stay persistent. Because the price you will pay now is not as big as the price you will pay later. Ever since he said that part, it just got me thinking. I need to be a person of value, not only when I need something, not only when I have a goal, not only when I have a dream. I just want to be a person that leaves a legacy. I want to be that person that understands the price I pay now is not the price I'll pay later. So I appreciate you guys for listening to this. And I really encourage you to share this message. I actually am doing a raffle on this episode. If I get 100 shares, 100 person that shares this episode, I'm going to go ahead, do a raffle and send you guys over $100 Cash App. So make sure that if you're listening to this, you go ahead and share it, tag me, tag Ed, and go ahead and make sure you go in Ed's comments and let him know hashtag Empower Tribe. If you go ahead and follow those three steps, share the video, put your takeaway, tag Ed and I, and then go in his comments and put hashtag Empower Tribe and tag me. I will go ahead and select you in the raffle to win $100 and to be a part of our mastermind community. So I'm fired up. Thank you for listening. Push this out to your network. If you like this episode, if it impacted you, if you resonated with it, if you think this could resonate with other individuals, do the right thing and share this episode. But most importantly, go ahead and hit subscribe. Press it, push it, like it. I don't care what it is. Just make sure you subscribe so you can keep getting this value that we are presenting in my community. And if you like what I'm saying, like what I'm doing, like what you're seeing, go ahead and follow me on Instagram at Azonani. That's A-Z-O-N-A-N-I. Again, that's Azonani, A-Z-O-N-A-N-I. Thank you guys so much. I got a lot of love for you. This is a huge, huge milestone in the Empower community. And with that being said, let's go and let's grow. I'll see you guys in the next episode.